This is Solve It for Kids.
Hey, 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 you are looking wonderful and curious. That's the thing about you. You always look so curious. Welcome. My name is Jet Li, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek into the real world of scientists, engineers, chemists, experts, as they solve problems in their jobs using curiosity, creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. Please welcome to the show my partner in exploration, the Dean of all things STEM and STEAM, Jennifer Swanson!
Hey, Jen. Hello, Jed!
How are you?
I am doing great tonight, and I'm really excited. I know we say that all the time, but I'm very excited about the guest we have tonight because we're going to talk about sea turtles.
Sea turtles, that's awesome. They're just such beautiful creatures.
They are. But before we give the whole thing away, I think you should spin the wheel.
Okay, here we go.
How can we protect sea turtle nests?
How can we protect sea turtle nests? Wow. I mean, I don't know. Like, do they sea turtles build nests like birds, like up in a tree or a bush or something like that?
No, they build them on the beach. I would know because I live in Florida and we get to see some of these some of the time. But for the expert on this, We are excited to have Carly Jackson with us today. She is a marine scientist and she works with sea turtles.
Awesome, awesome. This is great. Hey, welcome to the show, Carly.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here.
Oh, so tell us a little bit about what you do. Like, do you get to touch and handle the sea turtles?
I do. They're so cute. So what I do is mark sea turtle nests on our beaches in South Florida. And I also work in our sea turtle hospital. So I help take care of the sea turtles, and then we nurse them back to health, and then we release them back into the ocean. So I do that. And I also take care of the little baby hatchlings. They're super cute and super fun. And we help release them as well.
Oh,
wow, that's so cool. Now, how do you find sea turtle nests without stepping on them? Is it obvious or do you have to know what you're looking for?
So you do have to know what you're looking for. Now that I've been working for a while, it's pretty obvious to me, but some people it might just look like random mounds in the sand. So what my team does, we go out before sunrise during sea turtle season. So sea turtles nest between March and October in a year. So between that time, we go out before sunrise, so super, super early in the morning, like 6 a.m. You have to love mornings. I don't, but you know, the sea turtles make it better. So we go out and we drive along the beach. And since sea turtles have to crawl out of the water, we look for their tracks that crawl out of the water. Oh. And then there's a second track that goes right back in the water. So we look to see if they actually nested. So if they nested, there's like a nice fluffy mound of sand. It's usually a big mound of sand. If they didn't nest, that usually means they were disturbed by a human or a predator, or maybe it was just not a safe area for them, so they decided, I don't want to nest here, and just make a U-turn back in the water. So those are the two things that I look for on the beach.
So the sea turtles, the moms, lay the eggs there, and then they go back out to the ocean. How many eggs can they lay at one time?
They can lay up to 150 eggs at a time.
So, wow.
And they can do that about 5 times within one nesting season. So one mama can have like almost 1,000 eggs in one season.
Wow. I'm glad you did the math because I just started to do the math in my head and I got confused. But so like almost 1,000 eggs
almost.
In one season. That's amazing. Now, so there's like tons and tons of sea turtles because like if 1,000 eggs get laid and they all hatch and they go into the ocean, how is it that we're not walking on top of sea turtles when we go to the beach?
So with the nests, we actually mark them off so that people don't step on them.
Yeah,
and also sometimes the nest, all the eggs don't hatch all the time. So sometimes we do have eggs that are just, there was never really a little baby forming in those eggs, so we call them infertile eggs. So there's really nothing wrong with them. They're just kind of there. And then sometimes the eggs just don't hatch. We don't know why. Sometimes it's because the sand is way too hot. Maybe it got wet and there was too much water in the sand, but usually we'll get about, like, if there was 100 eggs, maybe about 70 of those eggs will hatch on average. But yeah, so, and that's how we don't have like a ton of sea turtles, because that would be a lot of turtles.
That would be a lot of turtles. Now, so I'm curious, what, you know, so I know what the size of a chicken egg is. Are they that size? Are they bigger, smaller?
So think of a ping pong ball. That is about as big as a, or that's the shape of a turtle egg. Each turtle egg is a little different size depending on how big the species is. But the, if you think of a ping pong ball, that's literally what the egg looks like and what it feels like, because they're not hard like chicken eggs.
Right.
In sea turtles' nests, they actually drop their eggs into an egg chamber. So if they were hard like chicken eggs, those eggs dropping on top of each other would just break. So they kind of bounce off of each other like ping pong balls. So they dent like ping pong balls too.
Wow.
That's, I did not know that. That's cool.
That's incredible. How long does it take for an egg to hatch?
It takes on average about 2 months, a little less than 2 months. We give it about 45 to 55 days to hatch. But for larger sea turtles, like the leatherback sea turtle, that's the largest sea turtle in the entire world, they take longer, probably around 70 to 80 days, just because they have bigger eggs.
Wow. So how would you solve this problem of keeping the predators away from the nest? Because, you know, that's probably part of where some of the eggs go.
Exactly.
I'm guessing.
Yes, that definitely goes into their whole survival rate. So naturally, foxes and raccoons, sometimes even skunks, they'll dig into a nest and they'll get some eggs.
Wow.
But sometimes on our beaches, there's way too many foxes and raccoons because humans like to feed them. So the foxes and raccoons are kind of overpopulated in our area. So that's why they're becoming more of a problem for nests. So natural predator is overpopulated. So now it's becoming just an issue for the nests. So we started having problems of raccoons and foxes. They're our main issues. They're our main animals that go after our nests.
How do you prevent them from getting the eggs?
Yeah, so what we do is when they actually start digging into a nest, we'll see it that morning. Sometimes they don't actually get eggs. So we'll just see that there were a bunch of paw prints and they dug into the nest. Uh-huh. So what we figured out is, foxes and raccoons, they're mammals, so they have like really sensitive noses and faces, and they have hair all over their face. So we've got this crafty idea to throw habanero pepper on the nest.
Oh my god!
If you've ever tasted or even like been in contact with habanero pepper, it is very, very hot. And just imagine a fox or a raccoon trying to come back to a nest to dig it up. And just getting a face full of habanero pepper.
Oh my god!
It is not a good time, but it doesn't hurt the animals.
Right.
So it doesn't, it's not fatal.
Right. which is a good thing. I mean, this is, so basically what you're doing is you're doing something that's kind of good for both species. I mean, not harmful.
Exactly. It's not harmful, but they're definitely not going to come back to the nest.
I'm sorry, but that would be kind of funny to watch, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I know. I always want to put, a video camera on our nest and see what happens.
Poor fox. Woo! That's not what he was thinking he was going to get.
Exactly. But the other part is we're not hurting the hatchlings, so if they happen to hatch and they get, habanero pepper on them, it's not going to affect them at all because they have scales and they don't have hair at all, so they're not going to feel the hot pepper.
Now, one of the things that we talked about at the beginning of the show is how can kids help protect turtle nests? I'm thinking that you don't expect kids to go out with hot sauce and pour it on nests.
No, so sea turtles are a protected species. They're protected under federal law. So that means only people on special permits can touch sea turtles, can touch their nests, anything like that. So probably would be a bad idea to go out and just start peppering all of our nests.
Yeah, don't do that, kids. Don't do that.
But what we do have sometimes kids help with, if you live near a beach and you happen to see sea turtles hatching during the day, that's technically not a good thing because they want to wait until it's cool and nighttime and the sun isn't out. Okay. So if they're hatching during the day, or if you see a sea turtle that's struggling like in the seaweed during the day and it's a hot sun, and it's probably not good for that turtle to be there. And we have at my place of work, Gumbo Limbo Nature Center, we have a little hatchling box. So if you guys find little sea turtles that are just run around on the beach during the day, you can take a sea turtle and put it in our hatchling box. So we check those every single day, like every couple hours, and we make sure that those hatchlings get the proper care, and then they're released on their own, so that they can, you know, swim out in the ocean by themselves.
That's great. So, in other words, don't take the sea turtle home, kids.
No.
Put it in the hatchling box. Even though I'm sure it's going to be really cute, you take pictures of yourself next to it on the sand, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But don't touch it too much.
Exactly. Yeah. So we don't want to touch wildlife because it's wildlife and, you know, everything has a mouth and can bite. So we definitely don't want to, and we also want to respect the animals. So we only help them if they are in dire needs. So like I said, if hatchlings are like hot on the sand and crawling around, you definitely want to take them, put them in a little cup, and then bring them to your nearest turtle hospital. Most turtle hospitals around South Florida, they have little hatchling boxes that you can drop them off in, things like that. And yeah, so that's really what I can think of for how kids can help with sea turtles. Just like educating yourself with on a lot of issues that sea turtles are facing. So there's a lot of websites. So if you go to our website where I work at, Gumbo Limbo Nature Center, we have a lot of different tips on how you can help sea turtles, even if you don't live near a area that has sea turtles. You definitely can educate yourself on how to just better help them. So from afar.
Now, it's really neat listening to you speak because you have so much passion. You love sea turtles so much. How did you, you know, did you grow up loving sea turtles?
So I actually grew up in Detroit, Michigan, far away from
No.
Yeah, no.
No sea turtles in Michigan.
No sea turtles. We do have like little freshwater turtles. They're really cute, but they're not sea turtles. But I actually just grew up I started out liking sharks as animals, and then I just overall grew a love for ocean in general. So when I moved down to Florida for college, I started volunteering at the place that I currently work at, because we do run mostly off of volunteers. So I started volunteering, when I learned about sea turtles and started educating other people about sea turtles, I kind of was like, oh, sea turtles are pretty cool. They're pretty cool animals. So the more I taught others about sea turtles, the more I became like passionate about it. And then when I finally got the current job that I'm in, when I saw little hatchlings the first time, I was like, oh my gosh, they're so cute.
That would be me. So our listeners know I live in Florida, so we don't have a lot of sea turtle nestings up here in Jacksonville, but we do on occasion, and you can see they put little fences or whatever around them.
Yeah.
But at night, now I've known that they have sea turtle watch where you can watch them hatch or something, right? I mean, from afar, clearly.
Right. Yeah, so what we do at Gumbo Limbo is we have turtle walks and hatchling releases. So sometimes we'll have hatchlings that we find during the day. If we have to dig up a nest because it hatched already and we're just kind of seeing how many shells hatch, things like that. Sometimes there's little sea turtles still stuck down there. So we pick them up and we bring them back to Gumbo Limbo. And then later that night, we'll have a program where people can come watch us release the hatchling. So you're not necessarily seeing a nest hatch, but you're basically seeing what it would look like if you were watching a nest hatch. So we have them go to the water and people can just watch them, and it's pretty cute. It's pretty fun seeing them run to the water.
So how big is a hatchling? Like is it the size of a hand? Is it like it's really like, tiny?
I always compare them to chicken nuggets. So if you know, like the little, they're literally like the same size as like a little like a McDonald's chicken nugget. Because they're smaller than the palm of your hand. They're probably about as big as a child's hand, like the palm of a child's hand.
Okay.
But, like leatherback sea turtle hatchlings, they're probably about as big as my hand because they just start out large.
Right.
And, other species, they're a little bit smaller than the palm of your hand.
And those little chicken nugget sized hatchlings, how big do they grow?
So it does vary by species. So the smallest species that we get here in South Florida are the loggerhead sea turtles. They can get up to about 300 pounds and about 3 feet long, and that's the smallest. Yep.
I was going to say, didn't you just say that was the smallest?
Yes, so that's the smallest that we get here in Florida. So in green sea turtles, they can get up to about 400 pounds, and they're just... Oh, they're so pretty. I like green sea turtles a lot. And leatherback sea turtles, I've actually never seen a leatherback because where I work, it's rare to see one during the day or see one like finishing up the nest early in the morning. They can get about 9 feet long and 2,000 pounds. So
holy
it's like
cow.
A little car.
Wow.
Like one of those little...
I didn't know they got that big.
Yeah. That was the largest recorded leatherback. The ones that we'll see nesting around here are probably closer to like 600 pounds, maybe a little more, about 6 feet long, but that's still big.
Just stay out of the way.
Just
exactly. Yeah. It's like seeing a dinosaur. You
know? Wow. Hey, Carly, I think I could talk to you all night long. This is really fascinating. Turtles are so cool, but I want to make sure we have time to get to our challenge. We love to have the show be totally interactive. So how do you want to challenge kids today?
Yeah, so I think a really good challenge is making sure you guys are recycling, throwing away your trash properly. If you make your own little recycling bin and decorate it with turtles, that would be really cool because plastic is a really, really, really big problem with turtles. Fun fact, all the sea turtles that I've worked with in rehab and every single turtle that comes into our sea turtle hospital has plastic in its belly, unfortunately. And the way to help reduce things like that happening is recycling and making sure you're properly throwing out your trash, making sure you're not using a lot of plastic forks or plastic plates. And so just making sure you're being more sustainable for the environment. So a fun activity definitely would be getting a little trash bin and decorating it with some sea turtle eggs, maybe throw a little sea turtle on it, and make that be a recycling bin and name it Save the Turtle Recycling Bin.
I love it. So our listeners, this is your challenge for today. I think this is great. So if you go out and make this, take a picture of your recycle bin that you've made or take a picture of yourself. Maybe collecting trash along the beach, either way.
Yeah.
And then if you ask your parents permission, tag us on our Instagram or Twitter, which is @KidsSolve. And we would love to see your pictures and we'll show them to Carly too, so that she can see how you guys are helping out at the beach.
Yeah. And Carly, I just love the name of the place where you work. Can you remind everybody again where you work and is there a website that they can go to see some of the cool work that you're up to?
Yes. So I work at Gumbo Limbo Nature Center. So Gumbo Limbo is the name of a tree. The name of the website is gumbolimbo.org.
That's awesome. Fabulous. So also remember, listeners, to go to our website, solveitforkids.com, because we'll have way more information about Carly on there, and we'll hopefully have some pictures of her working with turtles so you can see her in action. So again, check us out at solveitforkids.com.
Hey, Carly, thanks so much for being on the show. This was awesome.
It was awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem. It was so much fun.
Wow, Jennifer, that was an amazing conversation. Carly is awesome.
She is. And wasn't it crazy the idea she had for keeping other predators away from the nests?
Yeah, that really is. And it's like, you know, using Mother Nature to protect Mother Nature.
Oh, I like that. Very good. So, listeners, if you want to learn more about how to protect sea turtles' nests, make sure you go to our website, solveitforkids.com, because we have all of the information about Carly and where she works, and we even have a challenge and some tips for you about what you would do if you come across a sea turtle nest.
That is wonderful. And if kids, and more precisely, if parents go to solveitforkids.com, I understand you've been working on some really great things that teachers and homeschooling parents might be interested in checking out.
Yes, Jed, we are on Teacher Pay Teachers, or will be in another week or so. So we have a curriculum. We're starting to turn all of our podcasts into supplemental curriculums that teachers and homeschoolers and parents can use with their kids. Yeah. So find us on Teacher Pay Teachers.
Well, we can't wait for the next episode. That's going to happen next week. Until then, we'll see you next time on
Solve It for Kids.